So let's start. I'll give a small talk if necessary, but if anyone has any questions, either from my previous talks or from reading my books, or you just walked in here with a question, I'll entertain those first. If there are none, then I'm just going to talk about something first. Yes. The question was, how do you deal with the situation where the woman in a couple is making more money or has more power than the man? And this relates to some things I talked about earlier, which I'm going to recapitulate a bit because many people here weren't here. And as I go on, if you have questions, just raise your hand. When you boil down why any woman is with any man, or any feminine partners with the masculine partner, it comes down to one thing and one thing only. There are many peripheral things that are nice, like it's good if someone smells good, it's really nice, you know. If someone enjoys your same movies that you do, it's really nice. But you could have those things and still not want to be with somebody. Not everyone who smells good and enjoys the movies you like is someone you want to marry, I don't think. But the core of the desire to open an intimacy when the feminine is looking at a masculine partner is, how present is he? The single most important quality of the masculine is, how present is the masculine partner? How there is he? So someone who's not present is drifting away, looking around, doesn't look you in the eyes, their body's kind of contorted because they're not very present, they're not sure of their mission in life, they don't know their deepest purpose, they don't know what they're doing really, and so when they're with you, they're kind of with you, kind of not with you, sure, whatever you want to do, I don't care. And that's usually not that sexy for women, right? Okay, good. How many women find that sexy? There might be some in here. Like, you like a guy who's kind of ambiguous and... It's actually pretty disgusting, right? So the masculine, the reason a feminine partner is with the masculine partner, and that's usually a woman with a man, but sometimes in a relationship, the woman is the more masculine partner, and in a homosexual relationship, there's usually one more masculine, one more feminine partner, even though they're the same gender. So these aren't gender-bound. Everyone has masculine and feminine in them. About 80% of women animate more feminine than masculine, and about 80% of more men animate more masculine than feminine, but everyone has both in different proportions. Women want presence in their man. They want to feel like he's there with them, not thinking about the basketball scores and what's on his desk that he has to do, but when he's with you as a woman, you want him with you, feeling your deepest heart. Yes? Okay, so that's the single most important quality. If you're with a man who's that present with you, who's totally with you when he's with you, absolutely with you, undistractedly feeling you, moving with you, and so present in his consciousness that not only is he feeling you, but he's feeling everyone and everything. He's feeling out to the cosmos when he looks at you, and he sees you in front of him, and he feels your heart, but he also feels everyone dying in Turkey, and he feels the trees blooming and the rain falling, and he feels your deepest heart. That kind of man is a really good man. Yeah?
Where?
Right, where is he? The reason I ask these questions, by the way, isn't to get you to agree to me. I already know the answers to these questions. It's so the men could hear you. So when I say, that's the kind of man you want, right? And if you don't say yes, the men are going, I don't think women want a man like that. They like men who are ambiguous and lost. So your feedback is for you. Again, when a man's looking for a woman partner or a feminine partner, he wants many things. He might like, whatever, red hair, blonde hair, black hair, short, tall. He might want a woman who's likes to dance. He might want a woman who likes to ski. There's many things he might like, but all of those are very secondary compared to one thing. There's only one aspect of the feminine that the masculine is after in an intimate relationship. And that is, how open is this woman's radiance, her light? So when a woman walks in the room and she lights up the room, men like that. In fact, that's what Clinton said. That's why he had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. That's why in the transcripts it says, they asked Monica, why do you think the president, you know, did this with you? And she said, well, what he said is that when I walked into a room, I lit it up. And, you know, he had a lot on the line. That's how powerful that light is. That light And as I mentioned the other day, that light is the feeling of love. When somebody falls in love, they become bright. You know, they literally begin to glow, and you say, what's going on? I'm in love. That love shows as light. And so that capacity to open as love through the whole body, through your skin, through your eyes, through the way you move, the way you breathe, the way you feel, is the feminine capacity to be radiant. And that is what feminine attractiveness is. And women obviously know this too, because when they look through women's magazines, all the ads are about things that make you shiny, radiant. You know, you buy shampoo, the ads for shampoo don't say, you know, make your hair dull. You know, they say make your hair shine. You don't put on makeup to make your eyes dull, you make them glow. You don't put on rouge to make your cheeks, you know, gray. Well, maybe there's a fad. But, you know, you want to shine. So there's a feeling in the feminine that I am light. I am light. I want to be seen as light. And so the feminine will use jewelry and clothing to adorn the natural radiance of her heart, to adorn the natural openness of her love. And someone who's mature in their feminine is able to offer that to the world as a blessing, to offer that to her man as a blessing, to feel free in her radiant, open heart. In any case, that's the only thing the masculine wants from the feminine at the core. Everything else is like frosting on the cake. It's nice. But if a woman loses that radiance, I guarantee you, the man will seek elsewhere for it. Need I repeat that? If a woman is unable to offer her open radiance to a man, her man or any man will seek elsewhere for it. Men will always orient to the most radiant thing in the room. Often it's a woman. Sometimes it's a TV. The glow of the TV, if a man is standing in the living room and there's the TV is on and next to it is his woman. And she's like this.
What are you on today?
And on TV is, you know, this technicolor glowing light. He's going to go, watch TV. He's going to go right to the glow. But here, there's this glowing TV, and then his woman walks in just radiant and alive and just shining and smile of love and eyes bright and body open. He'll go... And as I mentioned the other day, men find this so valuable, they pay for it even when it's acted. In fact, you know, what makes a star or a movie star a star, the star is radiant, is that they're radiant people. You know, movie stars can't cut it if the camera has to like them, they have to glow, they have to light up the camera. So men will pay and women will pay to see radiant movie stars, radiant dancers, people who can open their body. Someone like Michael Jackson, who's a male, has a lot of feminine. He's very radiant as a performer. He lights up a room with his radiance, his light, his dancing, his voice. Someone like Margaret Thatcher or Janet Reno is a woman anatomically, but she doesn't exactly light up a room, but she certainly creates differences in the world that affect millions of people. She uses her presence to affect the world, which is a masculine exercise. So, any woman could be as masculine as they want and successful, and any man could be as radiant as they want and create as much beauty as they want. It's just that for 80% of women, no matter how much difference they make in the world, they're not happy unless love and light is flowing through their body. That is, the feminine heart, even if they're millionaire prime ministers, still wants to be bursted open into God, wants to be loved, wants to be filled, wants to be recognized as light, wants to feel the masculine enter you deeply and feel your light and love your light and open you. Yeah? Okay. So the question that was asked, that was preparation for your question, the question that was asked was, what about if the woman makes more money or is more powerful than the man? How does that work in an intimacy, given what I've just described? And it's an interesting situation that will take a few moments to unfold. First of all, such a woman would have to ask why she's with that man. So, let's say that I'm going to assume you're talking about a woman who actually has a feminine essence, and therefore she wants a very present man. She doesn't want Michael Jackson, she wants Harrison Ford. Okay? So, And you could feel the difference between them. Right? Michael Jackson's an extraordinary feminine gift to the world, and Harrison Ford's an extraordinary masculine gift. I'm just using them as icons so you could kind of feel the character. So let's assume there's a woman with a feminine essence, who's mostly feminine, who wants a masculine partner, someone more like Harrison Ford than like Michael Jackson. And she's very successful. And to be successful in this world, unless you're simply successful due to your radiance, you're a model or a movie star or a healer. Healing is feminine energy, the capacity to move energy and light through bodies. Otherwise, you have to be good in your masculine. You have to know how to achieve goals. If your work takes anything that has to do with schedules, goals, competition, and achievement, you're in your masculine, which is most careers these days. It's a very masculine world still. So if the feminine partner in the relationship is better at the masculine skills than the masculine partner, the first thing one would have to ask is, what are you doing with him? So the first thing to feel into is, what aspect of his masculine is a gift to you? Clearly, it's not his masculine capacity to earn money. That's not the gift you're with him for. Although you might choose a man who earns like 10 times more than you, you know, but you haven't. You're not talking about that situation. So why are you with such a man? What is the gift? So if there is none, then it's just a total neurosis that you're with him. If there is, then you need to clarify for yourself. I'm saying you, but I mean the woman you're talking about, a woman who's with a man who earns or is less powerful in social scenes than she is. You'd have to feel, what is it about this man that you're with him for? One of my teachers, I've had a number of incredibly good teachers, but one of them is a man who has married a couple. And this guy was one of the most spiritually powerful and conscious men I've ever known. I don't know if he ever earned $10 in his life, actually. He didn't even know how to write a check. His wife earned all the money. His wife made all the decisions about household things and so forth. His wife, it's hard to describe because they're not here, but she not only earned all the money, he didn't even know anything about money. I mean, but his consciousness was so clear and so strong that as knowledgeable as she was, as decisive as she had to be for the both of them in everyday life, because he just didn't know about these things, his capacity to offer that presence and consciousness and guide her heart to ecstatic openness was so strong that he still carried the polarity of the masculine spiritual direction, even though in terms of money and daily guidance, she often carried the weight, if that makes sense. So if you're with a man whose masculine is less evolved than yours in every way, that's a sign that you're afraid of the masculine. And so you've chosen a man whose masculine is so weak that it doesn't impinge. The quality of the masculine in a relationship is guidance, impingement, penetration, pinning down. I mean, sexually, it's a kind of ravishment. You know, a guy who will like swoon you and pick you up and put you down on the bed and rip off your clothes and pin you down lovingly, sensitively, but you know, for real. And if you like that kind of guy, some people apparently would, then you need to be able to invite that. You need to choose a man who's like that with you. Now, that same energy can go through the day. So if he's in his masculine at dinner, he will be pinning you down at dinner. If he's in his masculine with you all day, he will be pinning you down all day, lovingly. But, you know, he'll be feeling how you're breathing and attempting to open your breath. He'll be feeling how you're sitting and attempting to open your posture. He'll feel how you're using your time during the day and attempt to guide your time use so you had more of what you really needed to do in your life. He'd be using his masculine to infiltrate almost every part of your life. And because today we're in a phase where women in the old days used to be, you know, submissive housewives types, and they've cultivated their own masculine and are now very strong and whole people. There's a lot of women who are afraid of relinquishing that masculine in intimacy for fear of going back to the old way. And so for fear of going back into the submissive kind of role, women today hold on to their masculine. And even though deep down they'd love to be ravished by Harrison Ford, they act like, stay out of my space. This is my space. I can make my own decisions. Why are you telling me? You don't think I could make my own decisions? You know, you made the decision last time, I make it this time. And so we're at this transition phase in our culture where women aren't simply able to wield their masculine freely, but they're clinging to it like a new toy. Instead of having developed it fully and then going, wow, I could use this masculine anytime I want, but I don't want to use it with Harrison, and relinquishing it with your intimate partner so that your intimate partner can feel your desire for him to enter your life and open you and swoon you and guide you and lead you in the dance, sensitively feeling where you want to go, where you want to dance in your life. So if that kind of relationship that you're describing of a more socially powerful or financially successful woman with a man requires for it to work at all, that the man is more powerful in his masculine than the woman in some domain that is valuable to the woman. That's all that matters, that in the domain that you're with him for, he is able to take you places where you cannot bring yourself. That his capacity to guide and open you is better than your capacity to guide and open yourself. That his feeling of where you need to go together in your life is so intensely directed and clear and strong, and his feeling for you is so sensitive that even with your resistance or any woman's resistance or emotional moods, he's able to take you humorously and take you where you want to go, not where he wants you to go, but where he, both of you know you need to go. If your man is unable to do that, then there's almost no reason to trust him for anything. You're better at him at money, you're better at him in social situations, you're better at him at guiding your life. Then you're only, a woman would only be with a man in that case if they were afraid of being guided by men. For instance, if you grew up in a household where your father was abusive, or your father was abusive to your mother, or your mother just seemed weak to you, and so you said, yeah, I'm never going to be in that position. One can grow up as a woman with the disposition that I am never going to surrender to the masculine, even though your deep feminine heart wants nothing more than to surrender to a masculine that's trustable. You act as if none are trustable because possibly in your life you have never felt a trustable masculine, especially when you're growing up and these things get frozen in your nervous system. So if growing up there were no trustable masculine people in your household of real integrity, of real deep consciousness, all you saw were macho jerks or weak men, you realized, yuck. You cultivate your own masculine, you put out masculine energy, which means you attract feminine men, because you always attract your opposite. So you attract men who, you know, go to Bali, go to Hawaii, they surf, they're into mountains, they flow, but they have no direction in their life. And so, they... I don't think they're laughing about your life, necessarily. Yeah, exactly. This is a universal issue. So it's especially a universal issue in beautiful places. Because in a beautiful place, which is feminine beauty, it's nature, mother nature, life force, it's feminine beauty. What you get are men who would rather relate to the feminine in nature than to the feminine in human women. So what you already set up the situation where you get a predominance of men who relate to nature with more commitment than to a woman. So now you've got these guys who could be very masculine men, but have some kind of a, oh, shall we say, habit, we'll start euphemistically for now, of giving their total presence to the slopes, to the trail, to the rocks, rather than to a woman. And whatever's left, I'll share with a woman. Okay. Now, that kind of place attracts women who are afraid of deeply masculine men. Because here you got a bunch of men, they're handsome, they're strong, they're virile, they're fun to be with, and none of them are going to interfere in your life because they don't even care about your life, basically. And so you get let off the hook from having to be pinned down by a man's guidance, direction, and so forth, because he's pinning down the waves or pinning down the snow, or, you know, he's mastering the energy of nature out there. And then when he comes to you, you know, he might have sex with you, which could be fun, but he's certainly not going to interfere deeply in your life. And if you're a woman who grew up in the kind of household where there were no real men of integrity, so you didn't develop a real trust of that and felt it as a gift, then you'll be wanting to keep them out of your life, men who interfere in your life that way. And so this would be a beautiful place to live. A bunch of, you know, handsome, fun-loving, sexually active men who can't swoon you because you're so much deeper than them in your sense of direction in your life and God you wish in theirs, that You don't have to open and surrender, and they're certainly not about to initiate it because they want to just kind of keep it at arm's length anyways because they've got other commitments, you know. I hope I wasn't describing anybody here. Well, there's a lot of choices, but I want to finish your question thoroughly first, and I'll take other questions. That's a good question, too. So, if you're a woman who is more powerful than your man in these ways, in these masculine ways we're talking about, because a woman, all women almost are more powerful than men in feminine ways. They're more energetically powerful, they're more sexually powerful, they're more emotionally powerful. There's probably not a woman in here who couldn't reduce a man to a nub by just emotionally, right? Is there any man in here who hasn't felt reduced to a nub by a woman's emotions? Raise your hand today. You know, the feminine is Mother Nature, and as any man or woman knows, you know, you don't fuck with nature; it could kill you. You know, you could play, you could enter it, you could attempt to master it like a man can, but in the end, you know, if Mother Nature wants to crush you, you're crushed. There's just no way out. And it's the same. Men understand that intrinsically about women, that feminine women, that feminine women are so powerful in their emotions and their sexuality that sure, they could learn to master their relationship to that energy. Like you could master your relationship to the snow, but you never master the snow. You never master nature. If you think you have, you're dead. In real, and the same thing's true with women, basically. If you can't master a woman as a man, but you could certainly master your relationship to that energy, to feminine energy. And so, as a woman, you're intrinsically, inherently more powerful than your man emotionally and sexually. So now, if you're also more powerful than him in your direction, in your masculine qualities, there's not a whole lot left of reasons to be with him. So you would only be with him for neurotic reasons, and I wouldn't want to support that relationship anyways. So let's assume for a moment that you're with a man who's spiritually able to guide you in places you can't go, which would probably be the only real reason I can see for being with a man who's weaker than you in the world. Just like the teacher I described. When I use the word presence, I'm actually using it in a very specific way. I'm talking about someone who's able to burst open your heart and body and make you feel God in almost any moment. Make you feel the divinity that you know exists, that present. It doesn't matter to me whether he's a pauper, a carpenter, or a millionaire. That's the quality. And I don't think financial capacity is related to that much in any case, like you say. But that quality is the quality that you would need to tune into the man to choose a proper man. You know, if a powerful woman, I mean, you would basically, you don't need a man's money. You don't need a man's guidance in your daily life because you're good enough. But heck, why would you be with a man unless you wanted to feel open that way? Well, you know, taken by him to the deepest parts. And so one would need to choose a man like that, not simply a man who is into a relationship. And so let me get into this a little bit deeper because maybe this is the real issue under your question or under this kind of question. Presence has nothing to do with time. And a really present man would definitely spend less time with you, but the time he spends with you will be overwhelmingly deep. Because a present man means that he's clear in his masculine. And anyone clear in their masculine is clear in their purpose on earth. And no masculine person's purpose on earth is to be with a woman. Period. That might be part of his purpose. But it's like this. This is my purpose. I want you with me. It's not, you are my purpose. That is actually smothering. I need to be with you. You're everything. You're everything. If you leave me, I'm crushed. There's nothing else but you. Please, love me. Love me. I need you. I mean, right? So that's not the kind of presence that you want. You want a man who is present with you in the opening way I'm talking about. When what I'm saying is one of the side effects of that kind of man is he's going to spend most of his time applied to his sense of mission or purpose in life, whether that is making money or helping the world or being a politician or meditating or dancing or whatever he does is his purpose. So maybe you get, I don't know, an hour a day with him. I don't know what, you know, 10 hours a day, an hour every other week. The question is, how deep is that hour? The question is, how deeply is your heart and body opened in that hour? If a man could open you lovingly, be with you, and touch you in an hour so deeply that you are touched more deeply than a woman who lives next to you, whose man spends 10 hours a day with her, you're better off. You'll still complain, you know, I want to spend more time with you, you know, and he'll say, well, can't do it. You know, and you go, why aren't you more like, you know, Joe next door? And he goes, okay, you want Joe, you have him. I'll be back tomorrow at 10. You know, and so that's what a present man would be. He'd be clear in his sense of purpose, clear that he wants you. You want him or not, that's up to you. You know, another aspect of a man who's open in his masculine is he's happy with his life, with you or without you. His sense of mission is the core of his life. His sense of giving his gift to the world is the core of his life. If you're part of it, so much the better. But if you're not part of it, he might notice. And a really strong masculine man who is able to swoon you is able to swoon you precisely because he can feel through every part of you into your deepest part. He doesn't get involved in the drama of your superficial parts. He feels your deepest part. He feels the deepest part of him and of everyone, and so he's committed to that. And so again, from the woman's side, a part of the package of a really strong man in his presence is that he will not spend that much time with you. He will not be as committed to the relationship in terms of time as you. He will be committed to depth as much as you. He will be committed to opening his heart as much as you. He will spend most of that time opening his heart and giving his gift to the world or through his career or through his mission or his art. But when he comes to you, he will open his heart with you so deeply because he's good at that. He's good at opening his heart. And feel your heart open deeply and demand your open heart. And if that's the kind of man that you want, then you need to be used to a man who's not spending a lot of time with you. But I just wanted to say that in case that addressed part of what you're asking, but keep going.
But I don't believe that I can do what it takes to attract a man like that.
Oh, no. See, that's your lack of trust of the feminine. The feminine is the most powerful magnet in the universe for the masculine. I can guarantee you, I will bet you everything I have in my life, that if you open in your feminine radiance, you will attract the masculine to you like Carpenter's the Telluride. If you think you have to do anything other than open your heart and body to be light, to attract a good man, you're way off. It takes the masculine part of you thinks there's all this stuff that you have to do, and the feminine is, there's a part of you. Tell me if this is true or not. You know, I don't want to assert it. Maybe it's not true. Is there a part of you? Let me put it this way. Wait. I know, you just like to complain. But we take you, let's say we take you and we put you in a warm bath, okay? You like warm baths? Okay, we put you in a warm bath. We take flower petals. Are we okay on time? We take flower petals. We put the flower petals in the bath. We take the oil, your favorite scented oil. We cover you in scented oil. We have maybe some people come in and massage you for a while and then leave, and your favorite music is on. And then your perfect man walks in. And you're like in the bath, you're all soft and the smell of your favorite scent and the oils against your skin. And he looks at you completely with love. Yeah? Okay. Well, how are you in that moment? What are you feeling?
Radiant and accepted.
Okay. So how much practice does that take? Your practice is to stay there. Your practice is to remember how that felt in your body and to breathe like you did in the tub and to feel like you did in the tub. Because what third stage practice is essentially, the feminine third stage practice, is to feel this moment, the literal moment, the space around you, the people around you, this room, like your bathtub. And breathe it in like the sense of your love and feel it like warm skin against your body and open your body and offer yourself to this moment like you offer yourself to that man. And if you're doing that, I don't know, how many men in here would be attracted to her? Raise your hand. Raise your hand, guys, so she could see. Okay. That's all men want. When a man walks into a room and there's a woman sitting there going, and another woman going, and another woman going, just sealing open, you know, I can't do it, I'm not a woman, but, you know, just the body. The man's not going to go, now which one am I attracted to? The masculine wants that radiance. So let me convert your question. You're only not with a third stage man because you aren't opening in third stage radiance consistently enough. But you could. You know what it feels like. So far, I have 6 books, dozen more on the way, and a series of tapes to tell you how, in addition to workshops. So it's a possible thing to do and to practice, and anything you think otherwise is your masculine part attempting to control life and make something happen. Whereas if you want a man to be in this third stage place with you, which is this place beyond softness and equality, it includes that, but it's into him wanting you, desiring you, and guiding your life into openness deeply. If that's what you want, then your presentation in every moment needs to be as nature is. Effortless in a way, but because there's so much masculine impingement in our lives, it takes practice to stay open. So sacred dance is one of the main practices that allow you to keep your body and breath open. But, you know, yoga, tai chi, walking in nature, child rearing, anything that allows you to open your body and enjoy life, but to do it as a discipline. Because the tendency, I mean, even now, you're sitting here and you are how you are, but I bet you don't feel as open as you did in your bath. If you do, then never mind, but there's more open to go. Well, clearly, these men haven't smacked you into openness enough, so you go, you know, I mean, it's going to take a really... One second. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, the whole room knows what I'm talking about. If you need reference, you could ask them later. But you're the kind of woman who's, you know, clearly very radiant, clearly has a deep feminine, clearly wants to be touched by a deep man, which is very rare, very difficult to find. So you have an experience with men who can touch you deeply temporarily, but not consistently. And so you have this highly developed masculine capacity also. And you need a man who's so strong in his consciousness that he just doesn't let you do that. I mean, I don't want to let you do that. If it's a trivialization of your power. It's a trivialization of life. If he might entertain himself by listening to your refusal for moments at a time, like say he wants to enjoy a cup of tea, you know, he might say, how about some refusal with my tea? Of course, then you go, I don't have anything to refuse. But as soon as he starts sipping, bah! So he'll, you know, embrace you and dance with you and keep opening you. And at some point, maybe, you will learn that you can trust this, that you need not question it anymore, that his guidance is opening you. You're happier. Your body's more open. Your heart's more open. And he might make no money at all. It's pretty irrelevant how much, or he might make a lot more than you. It really is irrelevant how much money he makes. What's relevant is his capacity to do that with you. And there are men like that, but they won't give you the time, or they won't even notice you in a room unless in that moment you're open like that. And like you were saying, no one's open like that all of the time, but you could certainly practice to open like that more and more. Maybe there's a man like this in this room, and he wants to feel... Well, they would have run by now. They would have gone, Jesus, I don't want to deal with that. You know? But if they could feel your radiance without that, they would be coming after you. I mean, not only do you have that radiance, you have all power. And so you're as attractive as one can get, as long as you're not pushing that away. Okay? Do you have more questions about this? But if you could see her now, she's smiling, she's open. Look at her. She's not upset. Can't you see? She wants a man to be able to humorously deal with her. That's what she's talking about. Okay, now, other questions we will entertain at this time. Yes.
Does what you're saying about living in a beautiful environment mean that I need to leave here and move to a city in order to find a man?
No, but here's the deal. That's a good question. You know, as a woman, do I need to move into a city? You're competing with this nature. You can be more attractive than this nature. I guarantee you that you could take the biggest mountain climbing guy in the world And if a woman knows how to open with him, he will not climb that mountain, but will climb her, you know? But she's got to be, it is definitely true that in a place like Telluride, your radiance, you know, if you were in New York City, on your worst day, you're more radiant than the skyscraper, gray, you know. So, you know, I used to live in Hawaii, which makes this look masculine, you know. So in Hawaii, women have to wear like leis and colorful dresses, sarongs, their breasts hanging out with bikini tops and flowers in their hair. And then maybe they're noticed because the rest of the environment looks like that too. Now, if you took that woman from Hawaii with a lei and bikini and, you know, a sarong and like, and in Hawaii, once you're there for a while, everyone's just moving on Hawaii time, you know, island time. And so if you took that woman and then plopped her in New York City, she would stand out. So, I mean, she'd be as assaulted probably. I mean, it would be like, because she's so feminine. So in New York City, women, no leis, no color, gray, women in New York, you know, black, cool, you know. So women in New York City they could be feminine, dressed in black, dressed as men, in fact. They could dress as a man dresses and still with just maybe a little tiny colored thing here. It's like her feminine flair and really stand out in New York City. But you take a woman like that and put her on Hawaii and everyone would laugh, you know. They say, hey, relax, man, you know. Get in the ocean a little. And so your environment, masculine or feminine, definitely predisposes one to, you know, need to compete with it. So as a woman, in Telluride, if you want to attract a masculine man, you will need to be more relaxed and open in your radiance than you would need to be in New York to stand out as a feminine source of life, as light. So you don't have to give up the environment. You have to give up your masculine. And you don't have to give it up all day. You only have to give it up in intimacy, or if you're not in intimacy, you need to be freely able to relinquish it and be the half of the picture, not the whole. Surrendering as the power of nature. So if we continually practice that openness just over and over, then your body habitualizes to being radiant instead of being closed. And then you will attract all men, actually, not just masculine, but you will attract women too. I mean, everyone's attracted to feminine radiance. That's why you come to Telluride or Hawaii, because feminine radiance is beautiful and healing for everybody. And you are too, unless you close it down or hide it, which is easy to do when there's no one to trust. So someone's got to take the first step, and it's you if you're asking the question. Okay? Yes?
Could you describe the three stages that you spoke about the other night?
I talk about three stages a lot. And in the first stage of our lives, we think we need someone. We're dependent on something outside of us. So if as a woman, you feel, I need a man in order to be complete. You know, I need a man to support me financially. That's a first stage moment for you. If a man is feeling, I need to be successful at my job in order to feel good about myself, that's a first stage moment. He's depending on some external thing to make him feel good about himself. Just like a woman might be dependent on an external thing or a job even, but okay. So in the first stage, you want something outside of you to make you feel good. And if you don't have it, you don't feel good. You feel weak. If you don't have a man, you feel ugly. If a man doesn't have a career, he feels lost. Now, men and women grow into the second stage when they realize they could become whole and self-sufficient. And the way they do that typically is that women cultivate their internal masculine, so they don't need to depend on a man. And the masculine is the sense of direction, sense of purpose, where am I going? It's not about love, it's about clarity of vision. So women cultivate their internal masculine to become whole and integrated people, so they don't need to depend on a man to support them or take care of them. They could take care of themselves. And men typically, you know, if you look historically, like in the 50s, you had these first stage men and first stage women, you know, I'll take care of the house, I'll take care of the kids, I'll have sex with you, just support me, I'll do anything. And the men, you know, like, I'll give up my life and kill myself, have a heart attack, working 10 hours a day just to take care of you and the family, as long as you tell me I'm the best guy around and you worship me. You know, something like that. So that's a first stage relationship. So they grow out of that. Women grew first. Women are ahead of men. This is women's time on earth. There's more evolved women than evolved men on earth right now. It hasn't always been that way. For a long time, there were more evolved men than women, and men were leading the pack. That is not true anymore. Women are definitely taking the lead of evolution now, and one of the side effects of that is there are less evolved men than women, which is great for men. But anyway, so now you know what it's like to be evolved. It's true, you know. So the men and women then grew into the second stage by cultivating wholeness. So women cultivated their internal masculine, learned how to direct themselves. And if you look, men, you know, in the 50s, their women got jobs and they're like, hey, what do I, you know, like now she doesn't need me at all. What do I do? So then the men's movement happened and, you know, men got hip, smoked some dope, especially grew their hair long, got some earrings going, moved into their feminine. Then now the men are flowing. Now the women are in their business suits and, you know, you got the men in their feminine. So men cultivated their internal feminine to become whole. Now they weren't macho first stage, you know, I'll never cry, I'll never show emotion, totally rigid, I'm always working kind of guys. They were, I'm never working. I'm always good. That's an extreme version, but you know, they became flowsters instead of ghosters. So they wore more colorful clothing, jewelry. They cultivated their feminine, their relationship to nature, in fact. So men went back to nature, maybe smoked some marijuana to help them, enjoyed dancing, enjoyed music, and women were enjoying their capacity to state what they really want, to assert themselves, to change the political nature of the world, to change the economic nature of the world in their way. So they wielded the masculine sword of, this is my vision, this is my goal. And men relinquished the masculine sword and cultivated the feminine, let's play drums and feel life and feel good. And that gives us the second stage. Okay. Now, most people today know only those two stages, because the third stage, which is what all my work is about, is only now beginning to evolve. So most women think, well, I could be a weak, submissive housewife dependent on a man, or I could be an autonomous, independent woman. That's about it. And most men think, well, I could work my ass off and support a family, or I could flow and enjoy my life and not be responsible for all of that, but give people what they need moment by moment, spontaneously, as I feel the nature wants me to. Or something like that. There is a third step, which is, again, what all of my work is about, which is why I don't really address the first and second stages. There's lots of therapy to get from the first to the second stage. What therapy is you take people who don't feel whole and you help them feel whole. So wholeness is second stage. Third stage is much larger than wholeness. Third stage is when you open yourself, you open your heart, you open your body, you open your breath enough where, for instance, we feel each other as one. There's two bodies, sure, but we feel each other as one love, one being, one consciousness, and we're all, there's no sense of separation. We're serving each other perhaps, but the feeling is that there's just one openness growing, manifesting, love manifesting on earth. It's a sense of giving your deepest gift continuously, whether people recognize you or not. It is not about sustaining wholeness. In fact, there's no self-image at all. In the first stage, there's a quality of I have a negative self-image, I need a positive self-image, I'll do that by getting a good man or getting a good job. Then you grow and you go, hey, I have a positive self-image, I'm a good person, everything's good. You know, you wear only organic clothing, you eat only good food, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you support social causes, you contribute volunteer work, you know, you do all these things and that, and there's still a sense of, you know, and that sense is only relieved or fulfilled when you open beyond the feeling that you're a separate person, even helping others, and open to feel everything completely. So when I feel you as much as I feel me, that's a third stage moment. When I actually feel your body, your breath, your posture, as much as I feel mine, or maybe even more, when my concern, my openness encompasses this as much as this, that's a third stage moment. And when you come from a third stage moment, which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, it's a practice we can all practice, then your actions spring absolutely spontaneously from your deepest heart. And that's why the masculine-feminine part becomes interesting, because you, for instance, have a feminine heart. And even if you're extremely successful in your life in masculine ways, when you open to the third stage, you're going to be wanting to let go of some of those masculine ways and wanting to flower in some feminine ways that you might have postponed or held back. And that's going to shift your intimacy and all kinds of things. And so it's good to know how those shifts happen and what to do with them. And that's what my work is about. Not only in intimacy, but in your daily life. You will breathe different. You will carry your body different. You will interact with people different. Certain friends you won't spend time with, and you'll have certain new friends that you do. The way you relate to everything will change. The way you watch television will change. You know, everything becomes different when you're open and feeling everything as yourself.